we mentioned before, today we're going to be talking about the inyan of hidur mitzvah on something that's covered up, and something that people don't see. And the reason this is obviously relevant is that when one buys tefillin, they try to be makpid to buy the most beautiful parshios, but does it really matter? No one's ever going to see those parshios. Hopefully, you're not going to try to rip open the batim and look at the parshios. So is there any inyan of hidur mitzvah when it comes to the parshios of the tefillin? So in order to get into the sugya, it's important to know what the basis of hidur mitzvah is, what the basic sugya and shas of hidur mitzvah is. It comes up in a few places in shas in different contexts, but the primary sugya and shas that goes through the actual drasha of Chazal is Shabbos Taf Kuf Lam Gimel Amud Beis, where the Gemara tells us Ze Keli Ve'an Vehu. The pasuk says in Az Yashir, "This is my God Ve'an Vehu." Now the word Ve'an Vehu is subject to a major dispute in the Rishonim. What exactly? How do you translate it? I will build him a sanctuary. I will glorify him. Ve'an Vehu means that I will build him a mikdash. What does it mean? So the Gemara has its own interpretation. Hisna alafan of b'mitzvos. That I will make sure that when I serve him, I do so with beautiful mitzvos. That the mitzvos should be beautiful. How so? So it gives examples. The Brisa gives examples. A seilafon of sukkah na'a, you should have a nice sukkah. Lulav na'a, a nice lulav. Interesting, it picks lulav rather than esrog. Although in general, when we say lulav, we typically mean dalad minim. Tosfos Masech HaSukkah points out the bracha al Gemara said al netilas lulav as opposed to al netilas esrog or al netilas anything else, because the lulav is the tallest, or the lulav is the one that stands out the most. So we always talk about the lulav as the lulav set. Anyway, so it should be beautiful. Shofar na'a, nice shofar. Tzitzis na'a, nice tzitzis. Sefer Torah na'a, v'kasubo l'shmo b'diyo na'a. That's already an interesting line, that it should be a nice Sefer Torah, and then it says, and by the way, it should be written l'shma and with nice ink. Well, what does l'shma have to do with hidur mitzvah? So it seems, meaning we're just trying to show how to make hidur mitzvah. All these things are examples of a cheftza shel mitzvah that you make very beautiful. The fact that it then adds that you should have kavanos that are proper kavanos implies that hidur mitzvah goes beyond just the chefza shel mitzvah, that even the attitude one has toward a mitzvah might be a greater hidur. In fact, in Maseches Yoma, Rashi says that when everyone would bring their Sefer Torah to the Beis HaMikdash, Laharos Chazusa L'Rabim, and they would show everyone how beautiful their Sefer Torah are, Rashi has an interesting comment over there. Rashi says, I don't remember the exact Lashon, but Rashi says something like, to show Kama Hishtadel, how hard this person worked to make sure that he has a beautiful Sefer Torah. So it sounds like it's an element of the Hidur to have worked hard for it, to have put in significant effort in making sure that you have something beautiful. So there's hidur in the cheftza shel mitzvah for sure. That's what all of these examples are. But it sounds like there's hidur in the attitude toward the mitzvah and in the effort toward the mitzvah as well. And that's at least what one potentially could be medayik from that Rashi. I think my brother writes that way in his Sefer, Nasiach B'chukecha, in the chapter on Hidur Mitzvah. And then the Gemara says, B'kulmus na'a. Now that's also a little bit strange. B'kulmus, what difference does it make if I use a nice quill or an ugly quill, as long as the ksav is nice? So some of the Rishonim understand that, well, in order to get a nice ksav, you need to use a proper quill. Others say that, no, this is all part of how I do the mitzvah is also a hidur. It's not just the resulting cheftza shel mitzvah, but how I engage the mitzvah is also considered a hidur. It would turn out, by the way, my brother points out in the Sefer, it would turn out that if you have two people that have identical esrogim, they're mamash equally beautiful, but one guy got his esrog by asking his friend, who knows a lot about esrogim, hey, when you go buy an esrog, get me a nice one, here's some money, and the other one painstakingly went through like 100 esrogim, going through one by one to look for the most beautiful one, that the second guy has fulfilled a greater hidur mitzvah than the first guy, right? It's a greater kiyum of hidur, even though their esrog is exactly the same, it's physically beautiful, because apparently there's hidur in the maisa as well, and in the effort. Yeah.
If you take kumos, it's hidur mitzvah just by ksiva sefer Torah.
Like in the midst of ksiva, as opposed to kriya setor or whatever. But still, even the mitzvah of ksiva sefer Torah, you would think, the mitzvah of ksiva, this is the cheftza shel mitzvah, yeah, for the mitzvah of ksiva sefer Torah. Good. But then, v'korcho b'shirayin noyin, You should wrap the Sefer Torah in nice cloth, which is also a great chiddush, because that's not the chepsa shel mitzvah. Chepsa shel mitzvah is the Sefer Torah. Like, well, what's the? Is there an Indian to have a nice esrog box? Well, that's not the hiddur mitzvah that you have in an esrog. Is the esrog? They have a beautiful esrog, nice esrog box. Sounds, maybe you could argue that that's dafka by Sefer Torah, it's tashmishe kedusha as opposed to tashmishe mitzvah, but still it seems to be expanding the definition of hiddur. So and then the Gemara says, or va'anvehu might mean something else entirely. Have a domelo. Anvehu might mean that we're supposed to mimic the characteristics of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that mahu chan v'rachum, mafatayi chan v'rachum. It's interesting, the Gemara darshins from two different psukim, two different whole sets of how to mimic HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have Havidomelo, that just like Yischan V'rachum, and then we have the mitzvah that Ubo Sidbak, that you should attach yourself to the Shechina. So Gemara Sota says, is it possible to be Mistabik B'Shechina, Eish Uchlu, he's an all-consuming fire. So Gemara says, no, you should, Mahu Mevakar Cholim Afatam Mevakar Cholim, Mahu, Malbish Arumim Afatam Malbish Arumim. So it has the same Mahu Afatah from different Psukim, with entirely different lists of how to mimic a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So Rav Asher Weiss points out, he's not here, so I might as well say his Torah, he was supposed to be here in the slot. Rav Asher Weiss points out that there are two different dinim, that there's din ben adam la'atzma and there's din ben adam la'chaveira, that there's what a person is supposed to be, and there's how a person is supposed to behave and do things for other people. So we're supposed to be like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, both in terms of inherent character, chanun, rachum. That's not about what I'm doing for you, that's just about what I feel. That I feel empathy. I feel that if someone is suffering, I feel that suffering. That's chanun v'rachum. I may not do anything for them. I may not even, I just feel that sense of empathy. That's what we're supposed to be. That's bin adam la'atzma. And then there's mevakar cholim, malbish harumim. That's action. That's bin adam l'chaveiro. So two different mechayvim from two different psukim. It seems muchach that way in the Gemara, that these are two separate elements of mahu afata. But anyway, that's not our sugi. Our sugi is hidur mitzvah, and we should realize that our sugi is not really hidur mitzvah broadly. We're taking a very, very tiny topic within hidur mitzvah. If you really want to study the sugi of hidur mitzvah, you need to study the sugi in Baba Kama Daf Tes, where it talks about how much money to spend on hidur mitzvah. Hidur mitzvah ad shlish, the Gemara says, that you have to spend up until a third. At first the Gemara has a havamina, that it means a third of your money to ensure hidur, and then the Gemara says, but wait, then you'll do three mitzvahs, and then you won't have any money left to do any more mitzvahs. So the Gemara says, no, it means ad shlish b'mitzvah, you have to spend up until a third more than the bare minimum kosher mitzvah would be in order to accomplish hidur. Sounds from that Gemara with such strict guidelines that it's a chiyuv, so you have to figure that out. Is it a chiyuv or just a nice thing? From the words hidur mitzvah makes it sound like it's just a nice thing, not a chiyuv, but the Gemara makes it sound like it is a chiyuv. We would have to discuss all the elements, all the ways of doing hidur, hidur b'cheftza, hidur b'maisa, hidur b'ishtadlus. We would have to discuss whether hidur is subjective or objective. Is hidur clearly defined? We discussed that a little bit the other day. Is it defined by the halacha that this is what's beautiful? The esrog could look like the ugliest thing in the world to you, but if it's spotless on the top third, so is that objectively muhudar, or do you say no, it's also got to look nice, it has to be pleasing to the eye? I remember once I was so excited, I got the most clean, beautiful, perfect esrog, and my mother-in-law said to me, that's the ugliest little fruit I've ever seen, because it wasn't actually like a nice looking fruit, it was just when you're only looking in the halacha, it was muhudar. Yeah. No, there's the sheer of the, well, there's also machlokas, we showed him whether it means size, that there's a basic minimum sheer size of an esrog, let's say, right, kebetza, right, and hidur would be one third bigger than that, so that could be a chiyuv, but it's still kasha, you still get the mitzvah with less than the, right, so, then you also have to figure out whether hidur mitzvah is part of the mitzvah or apart from the mitzvah, which is always, you always have, is it a mitzvah that's within any given mitzvah? No, you have the mitzvah, and then you have a separate mitzvah, zakeli v'anveyu, that you fulfill independently. It's a famous briska rav by Bris Mila, which again in Chanukah, which we're not going to be able to get into. Is Hidur Mitzvah ever Ma'akev B'diavad? Okay, there's a lot to talk about, but what we're going to be focused on is just a very, very narrow sliver of Hidur Mitzvah, which is, as we said, whether there's a concept of Zekeh Livan Veyu by something that cannot be seen. So Tosos is the one that throws out the first the first pitch, so to speak, in this whole conversation. Tosos and Menachos Lambezon Beis, discussing some details relating to Sirtut, just mentions that tefillin don't require Sirtut, even though Kisvei HaKodesh always requires Sirtut. Sirtut means the lines that you make in the cloth in order to keep it straight, which Sirtut Pashupshat, you would think, it's to make sure that you keep your writing straight so that it looks nice and it looks normal. You know, some people, when they're not writing in lines, they're just not good at staying in line. They just the writing just goes like slanted down the page. So the Sirtut keeps it honest. It keeps it right. So Tosa says, yeah, but why does it matter for tefillin? Because tefillin anyway, no one's going to look at it. So there is no hidur mitzvah when it comes to the parshios of tefillin. That's the comment that that Tosso says. So that opens up a whole discussion. Is that really true? That hidur mitzvah is only something that can be seen by other people, and if it can't be seen by other people, it wouldn't apply. Now, what's the svara? Let's just think svara. Why would that be so? That hidur mitzvah should only, God knows, right? Isn't it? God knows that I put in all this effort and I made sure that it's perfect and whatever. God can see inside my tefillin batin. So why would hidur mitzvah not apply to something that cannot be seen? What's the svara for Tosos? Well, thoughts?
He knows. It's like it didn't
That it would be like some sort of offshoot of Kiddush Hashem. Zekeli va'anvehu. I'm going to show the world. It's this public declaration of my dedication to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Fits the Rashi and Yuma very well. The Gemara and Yuma tell laharos chazus on the rabbim. It's a public declaration. So it's sort of like an offshoot of Kiddush Hashem. If that's the case, well, there's no Kiddush Hashem. No one could see what's inside my tefillin batim. But if it's just inherent, that it's an inherent higher level of Avodas Hashem, when I go out of my way to make sure that everything's perfect and everything's beautiful, and it's between me and the Ribbono Shel Olam, and it's not about Kiddush Hashem in general, it's more about my private Avodas Hashem, so then you'd understand that it would apply even by something that is Nesali Mina'ayin. The Ma'aril in the Tshuvas in Siman Kuf Lamed Zayin says that the din of Bein Shita L'Shita K'melo Shita, the spacing, the appropriate spacing that one is supposed to have, is only a din by a Sefer Torah, not a din by the Parshios of Tefillin, because Tefillin is Mechusa anyway. So that's one side of the equation. But then you have a whole nother approach that Rishonim take. The Arzorua in Siman Tav Kuf Nun Hei, and as I mentioned to you earlier, most of these Marmakomas, certainly for the first half or two-thirds of Shir, I got from Rabbi Mendelitz, the author of Inside Stam. He sent me these makoros. I think he said that he got most of them from a shir that Rabbi Shai Shechtu gave, but I couldn't find that shir online. But the Arzarua in Siman Tavkuf Nun Hei writes, "B'tikun na'a mishum vanveu b'mitzvos mi bachutz l'maris ha'ayin," that a person has to make things make the chefetz shel mitzvah nice on the outside that people could see. Kol shekein mi bifnim, says the Arzarua. Whoa. Kol shekein mi bifnim. Kal v'chomer, when it's inside and no one sees it. It has to be beautiful. Now that doesn't seem to fit either of the svaras we said. It's one thing to say hu adin mi bifnim, because it's all about my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's the kol shekein mi bifnim? So the Arzura writes, sharei beis hamigdash mi bifnim. Shenemar v'yatzepeu pnima zav tahar, that in the heichal, they were mitzapeh zav, They lined it with gold, and who saw inside the Heichal? No one was ever there. Most Jews never got, we daven for Beis HaMikdash. We're in the period of time we're about to start being Mesabel on the Beis HaMikdash if it doesn't come between now and then, and we still have this recognition that the major parts of the building, that there are significant parts of the building that we will never see. That you're not going to be able to, only Kohanim will be able to go once in a while, and if you're not a Kohen, forget it, you're excluded from major parts of the building. And yet, it was beautiful! So why did they make, I would think, to make it more beautiful on the outside, because that's where everyone can see it. So he says the Beis HaMikdash should be the model. It's beautiful on the outside, it's more beautiful on the inside. And the further in you go, the more beauty there is, even though no one is seeing it. So that's his Kal Vachomer. This is probably based on Va'anvehu, as we mentioned. Chazal have many different ways of understanding Va'anvehu. Va'anvehu means that I should be like Hashem. Va'anvehu means Hidur Mitzvah. Va'anvehu also means that we should build a Beis HaMikdash. So there's probably some overlap in the Va'anvehus. That if building a Mikdash is built into that word, Va'anvehu, so probably the way we do Hidur Mitzvah should somehow be reflected in the amazing Hidurim that we have by the Beis HaMikdash. The Ramban, Siman Beis HaDalet, says mitzvah liyafosa mi bachutz umi bifnim. Also Paskin said it's a mitzvah to have a hidur mitzvah to make beautiful tefillin outside and inside. And the Bir Agra says why Shabbos kuf lamed gimel beis v'kol shkein mi bifnim mi mishkan. And it's a kal v'chomer from the mishkan that we mi bifnim v'chein ba'aron. What does it mean v'chein ba'aron? What is it about the aron? So how did they build the aron? It was gold on the outside. What was it on the inside? The aron? No? Also gold. In between was wood. Right? In between was wood. But the, why did they need it? It was like three boxes of gold, wood, gold. Right? And that's supposed to represent the Talmud Chacham, right? That he should be Tocho Kibaro. But, you know, in terms of the Hidur, why do you need to have Hidur inside? No one's ever looking inside. They're not opening it. Yeah, so there must be some, must be some, maybe it was too heavy to move otherwise, I don't know. But, that's a kasev, I don't know. But you see that as a model, that having something that's totally hidden that people aren't going to see, that there is some hidden, although I hear what you're saying, that you could argue that if it's so hidden that no one's, it's mamish never going to be seen, because it's completely, even if you were to open it, never could be seen, that maybe there would be no hidden based on that. Based on
the mitzvah, the object, and what it represents. So if we say that the Mishkan is so really us showing God, then you know what it's all.
So that's where you need the Hidur Mibifnim, because that's so directly related to giving a makom for Ashras, Hashchina, and the Shechina is most intense, Lefnai v'Lefnim, so that's where you need. I hear that also. It's a nice Svara. I hear that also. It makes sense. I don't know, but the Rishonim all point to the Mishkan as like the source, maybe because of the Va'anvehu connection that I mentioned before. Now, the Levush paskins that Zekei Va'anvehu applies to the Parashios of the Tefillin. The Shulchan Aruch paskins this way in Sif Yud Dalid. So it seems to be pretty clear. That lahalacha we paskin the Ramah, that one should be mahader in the parshios of the tefillin. The Shabruin Simulam and Zayin at the end of Sivkat and Dalid writes v'kasav adarke Moshe b'shem Mordechai yesh la'adam lahader achar tefillin na'im shenemar zekeli vanveyu dahainu shekasvon lav lor uman b'ksavna b'diyona b'kulmasna v'klafim na'im. Everything the Gemara said in Shabbos about a Sefer Torah, we should be makbid about when it comes to tefillin as well. So it seems to be that's the Pesach Halacha. Now there is a machlokas that's recorded in the Sefer Stam of Rav Shlomo Kluger. The Sefer Stam of Rav Shlomo Kluger. Rav Shlomo Kluger was a very prolific author, wrote many, many svarim. We just quoted him yesterday, I think, right? Halachah Rav Shlomo. So he has a Sefer Stam. Rav Shlomo Kluger records a machlokas between himself and the Ma'ari Asad about menumar when it comes to tefillin. Maria said taina that there's no psul menumar because there's no din zekei v'anvehu. What's menumar? Menumar means spotted like a leopard. So how could it be? We discussed this the other day, I think, when we were talking about if you wrote the shemos of the Sefer Torah, shalol l'shma, can you just go over, the Gemara Gittin talks about, can you just go over those shemos with more ink, l'shma, and would that fix it? So the Gemara said, no, you can't do that because then you're going to have a Sefer Torah that's menumar. You're going to have bolded words scattered throughout a Sefer Torah that's otherwise not bolded, and that's not nice. That's not a Hidur Mitzvah. It's interesting, by Svarin, People are not makbir Rabbi Prince Svarim, but Rav Shechter in his Svarim he bolds certain words. So is that a chisaron in the hiddur of a sefer? Rav Eger writes in his I think in his Hakdama to his Tshuvas that he was makbir that whenever the Tshuvas be printed, that it be printed with a nice font and a nice print and a nice cover, because it's they have to make it as easy to read as possible, as easy to learn as possible. So it could be that that's a greater hiddur, that when you're trying to bold words, because those are the important ones that you need people to focus on, that's a greater hiddur. But in the Sefer Torah, where it's all the same, and you're not supposed to, it's just stam, it's menumer, it's a psul, it's a problem, you can't have menumer. So what about in tefillin? Can you have menumer and tefillin? So the Rosh Hashanah Klud quotes Maria Sad, who says, yeah, what's the big deal? It's hidden inside anyway, so there's no psul of menumer, because there's no zekei livan veyu in the parshas of tefillin. So what's the response? Well, the first natural response is, that's not correct la halacha. We paskin that there is zekei livan veyu when it comes to the parshas film. But then says Rosh Hashanah Kluger, and even l'shitascha, you're wrong. Even if you hold that there's no inyan of zekei livan veyu with tefillin, that's in terms of not being makbid on exquisite beauty of the parshios. But menumar is not just a lack of beauty. Menumar is ugly. It's something that's subpar. It's one thing to say, okay, keep it at par. You just have to keep it basically decent and clean. But when you have menumar, it's much worse than being basically decent and clean. That's what Shlomo Kluger suggests. And Rav Moshe reminds us a little bit. Rav Moshe writes in his Tshuva to the Lubavitcher Rebbe about the Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. We've mentioned that Tshuva before, where at the very end of the Tshuva, after he goes through the whole Indian about why he doesn't wear Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin yet, Rav Moshe writes that now that you, the Holy Rebbe, are telling me that there's a Sofer Muvak that you can send me who's going to write my partials for me, and he will. And obviously he's going to have to write in Ksav Beis Yosef, not in the Chassidish Ksav, you know, even though he's being sent by the Lubavitcher Rebbe, he says, even though I acknowledge your Yotze with your Ksav as well, he writes, Virak, Iev Shalichtov Parshios to Tfilna Mezuzah El Beksav Echad, Mishum Shiyab Pasul Midin Menuma, that Tfilna Mezuzahs all have to be written with the same style of Ksav. Because if you have, a shin that looks one way over here and it looks a different way over there, even though they're all kosher, it's Psul Menuma. That you have this Psul when it comes to tefillin as well. So Rav Moshe takes a clear stance on this issue of psul menumar. But Pashas, of course it's going to be possible, because of course it's going to be a problem, because we paskin that there is zekei livan veyu on that which is inside. But there is this group of Rishonim, led by Rabbeinu Tam, and who else is critical in this group of Rishonim? Another major player in this group of Rishonim that seems to say that which is covered does not require van veyu is the Ramban. Right? The Rambam in Tzvilin, Perek Aleph, Halacha Yud Beis, the Rambam writes that Halacha Moshe Misinai Shein Kosen Sefer Torah V'lo Mezuzah El B'Sirtut Aval Tfilin Einan Tzrichen Sirtut L'fi Shein Mechupin. But Tfilin do not require Sirtut because they're covered up anyway. Exactly like Rabbeinu Tam. So it seems that it's not like some oddball, Das Yachin Rishonim. There's some major Rishonim that hold this Shita. So it's kedai to go through a little bit what the Gedarim of this might be, if it exists, even though we don't paskin this way. So the Avnei Nezer in the Tshuva, in Or Chaim Sim Tavlam Beis, quotes from his Talmud, the Chalkas Yoav. Avnei Nezer, if you ever read the Avnei Nezer's Tshuva, it's like, every tshuva is like a chiddush. Like every tshuva is like he was a super genius. It was just an incredibly charif way of approaching a sugya. And he had talmidim that followed that style. Rav Shechter likes to say none of them were were quite the Avnei Nezer. Some of them their charifus was like too much, But they picked up on that style. So his two big talmidim that I know of, at least, that pick up on his style are the Kazhuk Lover Gaon, the Eretz Tzvi. Rav Ari Tzvi Frumer, who is Rashiv and Chachmi Lublin, and the Chalkas Yoav. The Chalkas Yoav wrote probably the greatest gimmick sefer of all time. It's good to have marketing. Rabbi Ginsburg was talking about yesterday, like you got to know how to market things. Like it's good to have like like a gimmick, you know, if you have, whether you call it a 10-minute halacha or whatever, right, to get people interested. So there are svarim that are clearly gimmicks, like the whole sefer is a gimmick, to get people to learn whatever, like, for example, the sefer Ner Lameya. Are you familiar with the sefer Ner Lameya? It's 100 questions to the Beis Yosef's kasha of why we have 8 days of Hanukkah, not 7 days of Hanukkah. 100 answers to the Beis Yosef's, question. Like, it's a gimmick, you know, it's a way of going through, you know, Safik Rabbanu Lukula and when we do and don't say it in 100 different ways. Okay, the Chalkas Yoav had a gimmick sefer called Kava de Kashiasa. Kava de Kashiasa is an expression the Gemara uses when it talks about a kav, a measure of like the chaff that's left over after the wheat, you know, after you get the grain out. And it's just an expression the Gemara has, but he uses it as Kava de Kashiasa, Kuf Beis Aleph. 103, the Gematria, 103 questions. And the only thing the 103 questions have in common is that he doesn't have an answer to them. His top 103 questions that he doesn't have an answer to. Which is a great gimmick, because what's going to happen if you present to the Jewish community, here are 103 unanswerable questions. What are Jews going to do? I'm going to try to answer it. So there's a Kavod de Terutza, Kavod de Nechusa, Kavod de Yeshuva. Everyone got in on the action and tried to answer all of his questions. But anyway, so in the Chalkas Yoav, the Avni Nezer writes to his Talmud, the Chalkas Yoav was bothered. And this the Tshuva, the Chalkas Yoav appears in his Tshuvas, in Chelek Aleph Simon Gimel, that the Gemara Rosh Hashanah says in Daf Chav Zayin, that a shofar that has gold by the mouth of the shofar is a problem of chatzitza. That it's going to be chotzitz between your mouth and the shofar. So the Chalkas Yoav asked the Kasha, what do you mean? Kolon also ain't a chotzitz. That any time something is there to beautify an object, it shouldn't be a chatzitza. So if the gold is there just to beautify, it shouldn't be a chatzitza. So the Avni Nezer says, no, the mouth of the shofar goes inside your mouth when you're blowing. So no one would see the gold when you're blowing. Memela, there's no zekeh livan vein. You can't say that it's luna oso, that it's a hider mitzvah, and therefore not a chatzitza, if when you're using it, it's inside the mouth, and no one could see it, because it can't be a zekeh livan vehu, if at the time of the mitzvah, when it should be, when the hider should be coming out the most, it's totally covered up. There's no hider on something that's totally covered up, based on Rabbeinu Tam and the Rambam. So Rav Eliashiv didn't like that Avnei Nezer for two reasons. First is the obvious reason. What's the obvious reason? Right. We don't paskin that way. We paskin even something that's hidden is still zekeh livan vehu. But then he said he had another problem. The Ran and Megillah holds that even Rabbeinu Tam would require van vehu by mezuzah. Why? Mezuzah is also covered up. Even Rabbeinu Tam would agree mezuzah needs to be beautiful. Why? Because twice every 7 years you open it up to check. That's halach in Shulchan Aruch. You're supposed to check your mezuzah twice every 7 years. It doesn't say that in Shulchan Aruch about tefillin. It says it about mezuzahs. Twice every 7 years you're supposed to open up your mezuzahs to check them. So it is sometimes seen. So Nusa, what's the kasha on the Avnei Nezer? Avnei Nezer, you want to tell me that there's no hider in the shofar because when you're using it, you're covering the gold anyway. It's inside your mouth. You know, guess what? When I'm using my mezuzah, it's also covered. Yet, the Rishonim say there's still an inyan of hider because I uncover it twice every 7 years. And how do I uncover it? I leave it on the wall and somehow... No, I take it off the wall. I stop using it for the mitzvah. When I'm not using it for the mitzvah, that's when it gets uncovered. That's when it gets exposed. And still we say there's hider mitzvah over there. Yeah.
Once every 7 years.
No. So people do it because they're nervous, whatever, heat and whatever it was exposed to, they're worried about it. As I mentioned the other day, I think it's more important to get tefillin checked just because a lot of times people have no idea if they were ever really checked properly. But if you have them checked by someone who really, really is good and exacting and careful and checks those parshios and your tefillin, like, you didn't go swimming in your tefillin or anything like that, so probably you don't have to, you're probably even better off not opening up the bottom to much of the parshios and check them. But it's the other reason it's kedai to get them checked is to make sure your ritzuos are good, make sure your bottom are good, make sure that it didn't get nicked or whatever, anything else on the outside. But yeah, but that's a din by mezuzah specifically. So that was Rav Eliashiv's second taina on this Avnei Nezer. How can you, the Avnei Nezer, tell me that there's no hiddur by the mouth of a shofar having gold on it, because anyway it's covered when you're using it. The Ran says explicitly that even Rabbi Natan would hold there is hiddur by mezuzah, because twice every 7 years it gets exposed. The shofar is exposed more than twice every 7 years. It's only covered for those few moments when you have it by your mouth and you're actually blowing it. Yeah.
I'm an Ezer Kel answer for the first time that there's a difference between shofar and tefillin and the aron. So you could say that by tefillin and by the aron, there's a din in trying to give cover to what's on the inside. There's like something kadosh on the inside, but by shofar, that's not the case. That's the mouth.
So you're saying in terms of the halacha,
yeah,
that the halacha we pass, and you should have beautiful parshios because, but not a beautiful. Explain. I would think it's easier to answer the second taina rather than the first one. Meaning the halacha we pass him that there's even hiddur on things that are hidden, right? So why is Yavin Ezer assuming not that way? And right, that's one of the Asher's question. So you're saying that because that which is hidden over there is something that's inherently,
yeah.
So I think this could answer maybe both tainas of Rabbi Yashin. There is a big difference between mezuzah / tefillin on the one hand and shofar on the other hand. And really, that difference is the topic we didn't get to discuss. One is tashmisha kedusha, and the other is tashmisha mitzvah. Now, there are a number of differences between tashmisha kedusha and tashmisha mitzvah. So we discussed a little bit what the gedder of tashmisha kedusha and tashmisha mitzvah are. Right? We discussed that tashmisha kedusha are things that relate to ksav shel Torah, or kedusha atzma is the ksav shel Torah itself, whereas tashmisha mitzvah is things that relate to doing mitzvahs. But the halachos of tashmisha kedusha, tashmisha mitzvah are different from each other as well. When it comes to tashmisha kedusha, la'achar zman mitzvasan, they still have kedusha, meaning even if you're currently not using them, like let's say you're not using your mezuzah right now, you have an extra mezuzah. So, okay, it's not on the door, so I could bring it into the bathroom? No, you can't. Can you, pile something on top of it? No, it still has to be treated with kedusha. A tashmisha mitzvah that's not currently being used is nizrakin. You could throw it out. You don't need to actually treat it with any. So if the whole hidur is only going to emerge in tashmisha mitzvah when you're not using it, it's worthless. By tashmisha kedusha, if the hidur emerges even when you're not using it for the mitzvah, it has value, because inherently as tashmisha kedusha, it's something that retains its value even when it's not being used for the mitzvah. Tashmisha mitzvah are only valuable insofar as they're being used for the mitzvah. And the second you stop using it for the mitzvah, it doesn't have any value to it anymore. This is the piece that, right, it was the piece I said I was going to do the other day that I forgot, or that we didn't have time to do it. I'm not sure we're going to have time today either. There's more stuff I want to get to. But you hear that chilek? Meaning, so the kasha that Rav Yashiv is asking on the Avnei Nezer, how can you tell me that the shofar has there's no value to the gold mouth of the shofar because it's hidden, the mezuzah is also hidden, except for those twice every 7 years, and that apparently is good enough value? Yes, because mezuzah is tashmisha kedusha. So it always has value. So to keep that hidur at any time is going to be valuable. So one could have made that distinction.
And according to that, what about tefillin?
So by tefillin is tashmisha kedusha. So by tefillin, so you have to say a different word by tefillin. Okay, I'm going to have to say something else by tefillin, and there is what to say. So here's what I think we could say by tefillin. Not I think. Here's what Rav Soloveitchik has to say by tefillin. Rav Soloveitchik in Shirei Agrid in Simen Yud Zayin, he has a piece on Sirtut, but he discusses this Rambam, that the Rambam says Shehein Mechufin, that they're covered, and therefore there's no need for Sirtut. So Rav Soloveitchik says, first of all, why would this be different than writing any psukim anywhere? The Gemara in Gittin Davav says you write any psukim, it requires sirtut, because even just writing a few psukim of Kisvei HaKodesh requires sirtut. So because you're putting it inside the bottom of your tefillin, it makes it less, and it's not going to need sirtut. Anytime you write any psukim, it requires sirtut. Whatever you're going to do with them, So because you're going to stick them in your batim, that means that it needs sirtul bless? That's his first kasha. And second, he says, why does he give the reason mepei shein mechupin? If you could simply say there's no halach al Moshe Misinai demanding sirtut petfilin, the whole din of sirtut is halach al Moshe Misinai. So he gives svaras. Oh, because it's covered, that's why it's not. It's halach al Moshe Misinai that you need sirtut by certain things. And halach al Moshe Misinai was never said by tefillin. So Salvechik suggests as follows. The Gemara Menachos Membeis says that tefillin, yesh lem bedika ve'en yikachin ele min amumcha, Svarim u'mezuzas yesh lem bedika v'nikachim mikal adam. And Tosus explains what that means is, tefillin yesh lem bedika b'chaseros v'yeseros, v'afilu hachi ein nikachin sheginai l'sosra. Meaning, that when it comes to tefillin, Tosus says, ginai l'sosra. It's a ginai to the tefillin to open them up, to break up the batim. It's a ginai to the tefillin, even to check them. Even though you're only breaking them up to check, it's a g'nai to the tefillin. Meaning, once you stitch those batim clothes, once you close them up, they are not supposed to be opened again, and therefore, says it is Rav Salvechik talking now, therefore, the parshios are mufka midin kriya. It's not just that you happen to not be reading them, because why would you? Like a mezuzah, where you roll it up and put it on the, and you just happen to not be reading it, because it's rolled up. No, by tefillin, it's a genai to open it up, and therefore, it's mufka midin kriya. And he wants to suggest this chiddush, that by tefillin, there's part of the mitzvah of tefillin, halach l'moshe misinai he's going to show, of tefillin is to take these parshios and make sure they never get read. Close them up as much as you can, and that's part of making a chatzah shel tefillin, is by taking these hidden parshios. It's this private thing that you take away any future possibility of kriya. And he says that explains the Rambam. Mezuzah and Sefer Torah both need sirtut because at some point they're meant to be read. Sefer Torah all the time, mezuzah twice every 7 years. Tefillin are never supposed to be read. In fact, the Ramban quotes from Rav Nachunoy Gong. Except for tefillin doesn't need sirtut. Why not? The mitzvah of tefillin is, he doesn't just say to wrap him up, make it like a kameya, where you put it inside something else. And velo likros bem kol iker, and never ever to read from them. The Rambam, when he lists off the halachos of Moshe Misinai of tefillin, it's remarkable. In Parag Gimel Halacha Aleph, right, the Rambam starts saying there are 8 halachos of Moshe Misinai of tefillin. Not all of them appear in Talmud Bavli. One of them is one that doesn't appear in Bavli, appears in Yerushalmi, is v'korchen b'seyar v'tolin b'matlis. To wrap it in hair and put a piece of cloth over it. Tosfos Menachos Lamedei Min Aleph in Dibur Maskil Shin Shel Tefillin quotes this idea that you take a blank piece of cloth, and wrap it around the closed cloth of your parshios, and then tie it with hair. That's a lot to do if all you're trying to do is just squeeze it into the batim. I mean, if the whole din was just a din of squeezing them into the batim, and the only way to get them into the batim is by rolling them up, so what do you need the extra piece of paper for, the extra piece of cloth for? What do you need the hair for? What's all this? What do we need all this business? No, the impression you get is halach l'moshe misinai. So what's the nature of this halach l'moshe misinai? Is to make a gnizas haparshios. Then we're going to take the parshios, and we're going to be gonez these parshios to be mafkia midim kriya. That there's not going to be a kriya. And in fact, he quotes from the Sefer HaMachriya b'shem Rav Paltai Gon that seems to say this. Tefillin matam ein tzrichim sirtut b'mrei shemitzuyin mitzuvin lekovan ve'ein tzarech likros b'em kesvarim ella mitzvah lekorcham lekoman lekorcham b'sairin letofrim b'gidin v'nasin kekameha ve'ein regilin leposchan v'likros b'em. It's all this emphasis on we don't read them. They're not supposed to be read. Now, the fact that we're golel in the first place, that we're golel parshios, may just be a practical matter. You got how else they can fit into the batim. But it may be more than that. It may not just be a practical matter. Maybe that's part of the halacha of being gones. And that's why the Rambam writes in Perek Beis Halacha Aleph, Kosvin arba parshios al arba klafim, v'golulan kol echad levado. The Rambam, he describes the mitzvah of ksivas aparshios. What does he have to add in? V'golulan kol echad levado. And roll each one separately. You told me to put them on separate klafim. But apparently the galila is part of the mitzvah. And the Shalyadi says you write arba parshios on one klaf, the arba dapin al klaf echad, v'golulo kemin sefer Torah l'tchilaso. Highlighting this galila, that's part of the Shemona Alechos and Moshe Sinai. Now it's true if Salvezhik acknowledges, in Perikim Alechos Zayin he writes that Kshu Golol Aparshios Ben Shalosh Meshach, I'm sorry, in Perik Dalet Alecha Vav, when he talks about Mezuzah, he also says Golol, but not in the context of Alech L'Moshe Messina. He's not discussing Alech L'Moshe Messina over there. So there he's just talking about how you're going to fit it into the wall. You roll it up and stick it on the wall. But when in Perik Gimel of Hilchos Tefillin, he's talking about Alech L'Moshe Messina, and he keeps talking about Gololan. So the implication is that the Genizas HaParshios is part of what's required of Tefillin. So that's what would make Tefillin different. That Tefillin are Mufka Mikriya. That's part of the Kiyum of Tefillin. Yeah.
So the point to all of that, the whole reason why you need Sefer in the first place is because of a din of Kedusha. So in what way does, now that we're putting away the Tefillin, whenever there's no Kriya with it at all, how does that cancel out the din?
The din of Hidur.
As in, it's the reason for it is Kedusha. Why does, okay, now we're not reading it, so we don't need it. Why does that make sense?
What do you mean the reason for it is Kedusha?
As in, the reason that we need Sirtah, they all need Sirtah because they're the Kaddosh, right? All these different things. Anything that, any Dabar.
No, but he's saying that the din of Sirtah is a din in Kriya. That it should be easy to read. That when you're reading
it,
for example.
Why is it everything that has any Dabar Kedusha?
No, a chefza, a tashmishe kedusha, or some a chefza shel kedusha atzma, may have a din of hidur even when it's not seen, even when it's not being used for the mitzvah. But that's by something that's nitzel likros. That's by something that you would ever use, that you would ever open up. It doesn't have to be that you're opening it up when used. Meaning, what I'm suggesting is that there are three madrigos. There's that which is mufka mikriya, tashmishe kedusha, which are mufka mikriya. And there's only one example, tefillin. There's that which is Tashmisha Kedusha that you would read, but you would only read when you're not doing the mitzvah. Like, there's only one example of that, that's mezuzah. And then there are things that are when you're doing the mitzvah that you should have this this hidur. That during the actual mitzvah it should have the hidur. That's the three levels.
Based on this, you could say, Rabbi Tam and the Rambam don't have this general view of hidur mitzvah only applying in the inside.
Right, the way he's explaining it, right, is right.
And
they
really would agree that there is,
which is clearly against the Avnei Nezer.
Right.
Meaning, Rav Soloveitchik is not answering for the Avnei Nezer. He didn't quote the Avnei Nezer. It's clear. It could be just this is the way to understand Rabbeinu Tam. Rambam, nothing to. There is never a Rishon that actually says that something that's hidden doesn't require Hidur. Right, that's where Rav Soloveitchik might say.
Yeah. Discussion can we tie into
It will definitely tie in. We just have to figure out how. Meaning,
whether or not you would have to make the parshas inside, whether or not you would have to make them higher than might be an objective thing, since it's not being shown to everyone.
Ah, okay, good. So that very possible. Yeah. Right, sounds like it's midin kriya, right? Even though no one's ever going to be kore, and the Rambam acknowledges no one's ever going to be kore. I don't know, you have to say it's part of that.
Did he ever explicitly say no hidur like Tosfos does, or he just seems to be indicating
no hidur? That what?
Did Rambam ever explicitly say there's no hidur by Tefillin, but or we just basically...
No, he just says no sirtut. He says no sirtut because it's covered. So it gives you the impression that, you know, sirtut is something that's only needed if you're going to see it, because who cares what it really looks like. But you're right. He doesn't say no hidur. He doesn't say no zekeh li vavdeh. Right. Yeah. So he gives you that impression again. Yeah.
Rashi just say that you're never supposed to reach him, or are you just trying to bring out this cloud by feeling that they're supposed to be Matkiya Min HaKriya?
They're supposed to be Mufka Min HaKriya, but I think...
Because he says that the inner brings out the Sefer HaKriya that it shouldn't be Ragil. So
right, that there might be times where you might... Well, it could be that if you have some sort of question about what happened to your tefillin, that you would read from it, but it's not something that you would typically do. So I wanted to mention one more thing about the... about Bris Mila. The Gemara in Shabbos explicitly refers to being chozer al tzitzin shein ma'akvin, meaning if a person didn't cut away all the skin that he should have in order to have a hidur mitzvah by the Bris Mila, the Gemara says explicitly applies zekei livan vei to Bris Mila. So apparently, even though the Bris is normally covered, meaning if you assume like Rabbeinu Tam, there's no zekei livan vei for something that's covered, how do you answer Bris Mila? Right, Bris Mila is normally covered, and yet the Gemara explicitly in Shabbos applies zekei livan vei to Bris Mila. So I think it's probably not a kasha, just to make it clear that it's not a kasha. Why is it not a kasha?
Because when you're actually doing the mitzvah, I guess again the Bris Mila, then...
Yeah, at the time of the Kiyum HaMitzvah, it's absolutely uncovered, right? Meaning someone once asked me, how could you expose erva in shul like that? Well, on a little baby, it's not erva. At the time you wouldn't do an adult meal in shul. But at the time you're doing the mitzvah, it's exposed. So yes, it's true that it's not going to be exposed so much in the future. It goes in the mikveh or whatever. But for the mikveh goers. But at the time that you're doing the mitzvah, of course it's exposed. Now, what is the mitzvah of Bris Mila? It's always kedai to mention. There's a sefer called Ishim Veshitos. Have you heard of the sefer?
Yeah.
Zevin wrote a sefer of like a... he picked like a random like a dozen or 15 gedolim from the last 300 years, and he wrote biographies of them, but not like a biography of like, oh, his father was from here and his mother was from there and he used to like to play chess when he was a kid and whatever, like not that kind of thing. It was a biography of their brains. He sort of like dissected the way they thought, what they contributed to Torah literature, how they, you know, with their style and learning, with examples. It was a book that could have only been written by a very big Talmud Chacham. Rav Zevin was a different kind of Talmud, like he just thought about things differently. It's a book that only he would have written. And in Ishim Veshitos, he's got like, I don't know, a dozen different rabbis that he talks about, and 15, 20 pages in each of them, and he's got 80 pages on the Ragachev. Because he was been biased by the Ragachever. So like all the crazy stories you hear about the Ragachever probably come from there. He has all these stories about the Ragachever's sharp tongue and all the things that he used to say. So sort of Zevin writes over there that the Ragachever, unlike Reb Chaim was always into Tzvei Dinim. Din in the Gabra, Din in the Chepsin, right? Always Tzvei Dinim. The Ragachever had a style of identifying three Dinim. And he gives a few examples that you could break down certain mitzvahs into three dinim. One of the examples that he gives, I'm not saying he gives three examples, one of the examples that he gives is the mitzvah of Mila. He says you'll find that the mitzvah of Mila, if you really go through the sugyas, and he gives nafkaminas, that the mitzvah of Mila is there's a mitzvah to do a maisa Mila, so it's the maisa mitzvah at the time of the actual bris. There's a separate mitzvah, lihiyos mahul, that a person should be gemalt, that he should have a Mila. And then there's a third mitzvah, lo saseh, shalolios arel, that a person is not allowed to be an arel. For example, let's say someone is nolad mahu, he's born with a bris mila. So he's not an arel, he doesn't have an arla. He is mahu, but he never did a maisa mila. That's why you got to do a tavzda bris, he needs to do some sort of maisa. Right? Or the medrash David HaMelech, the Gemara, David HaMelech is taking a shower, and he's sad because he's arum min ha-mitzvos. Right, so he looks around. He's like, "Ah, I'm arum in a mitzvah. This stinks." And then he remembers his bris mila. Oh, I still have the mitzvah bris mila. No, you don't. Your father did that when you were a little baby. Why do you still have that? No, because he's doing the mitzvah of liyos mahu to be mahu. Right. So you have anyway. So Rav Zevin. But over here, what we're talking about is at least in the maisa mila, in the mice, because there's a question by Tzitzin Shein Makvin. Is that a hider in the maisa mila, or is that a hider in the Cheftza shel mitzvah, meaning the Leos Mol element. So this answer that it's exposed at the time that you do in the mitzvah is only true of the Maisa Mila, not on the Leos Mahu, which happens later, but still it gets exposed every once in a while, at least as often as a mezuzah. gets exposed, right? So you could say that is therefore something that would still be subject to Yidur, even according to Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, I'm going to give the other.